Amy Jo Johnson.
The Pink Ranger.
I love me some Pink Ranger.
This is the extended version. Tommy's on this one.
This is like season 2 or 3?
Tommy's like the latter half of season 1.
He was like a secret character in a video game.
Yeah.
The one you unlocked after you beat the boss.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He has
Which is
sickest,
what happened, I think.
Didn't he have the sickest dinosaur, too, out of all of them? It was like a
Tyrannus. He had a dragon. He had a dragon.
Oh, that's the Green Ranger.
Yeah,
he had a dragon
that he could play the flute knife and he would come out of the ocean. And the dragon would just come out and he wouldn't even go inside the dragon. He would stand on top of him and fight because that's how badass he was.
Was this still Rita era? Was he still taking on? Okay, he was still taking on Rita. Remember?
No, Rita created him.
That's right!
Who the fuck is Rita?
Remember the girl on the moon that had the telescope that looked in with all her evil monkey men on Earth? Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Rita. I didn't know her name was Rita. Yeah.
And she talked like this!
Sounds like someone's grandmother, not the.
Well, she kind of looked like somebody's
henchman.
Like Mexican grandmother that's been locked away in the back of the house for a little bit too long and just hasn't seen people. That's exactly what she looked and sounded like.
It was like the old
the Power Rangers again.
If she spoke Spanish, it would have been perfect.
Bitch, they beat you every time. Why do you think it's going to be different? Don't sound surprised.
They have robotic dinosaurs.
She has a new monster every time, man.
Oh, that's true. Actually, she did
out of
clay. That's right. They summoned them. She was like the Michelangelo monster maker.
Make clay. Put it through a machine.
Just straight up Demi Moore ghosts it.
Should have just stuck with art.
Throws it into reality.
I mean, we really talk about Tommy got his powers from a green candle that she made.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know so much?
Man,
about
you are
the Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was again just like last week. If you listen to last week, Pokemon Power Rangers was prime childhood. 5 years old. Like I had the original like action figures. I had everything, and then you know when I turned 7, Power Rangers was old news.
Yeah.
So they really got you in that essential 5 to 7
Dude,
window.
Essential.
And then you remembered it for 20 mm-hmm. odd years.
Oh, yeah. It's locked up in there.
It's impressive.
Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, we have a guest on this week.
Yes,
David Usher,
guest.
By the way, our first guest ever for Pop Not Soda, our official 12th episode.
Thank you.
David Usher, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Woo!
Thank
you.
If we had a crowd, they'd applaud. But yeah, so as Brett mentioned, welcome to Pop Not Soda, our 12th episode. So now we've been 2 full sitpats of pop culture so far this season.
Ooh, that is
nice.
Damn, I didn't even think about that until
Baker's
now.
Dozen next week.
Baker's Dozen. That'll go right along with your movie review pastry. So
it sure will.
Oh, you better bring the fire with the pastry next week.
I think I've been on point. Every week.
But as always, I'm Dan, and here along with Brett and Brian. Guys, how was your weekend?
It was good. Mine was pretty good. I just hung out, really. Went to the Padres game on Saturday, actually, right before the big fight. And,
there's a fight this weekend?
Yeah. It was a tiny little fight. We'll talk about it.
It was Jamie Foxx against the National Anthem, right?
That is correct. Yeah.
I don't think there was a winner in that.
No. I think maybe America lost.
Mexico sure won, though, because that National Anthem was at least 7 minutes long.
Oh, that thing was epic.
Speaking of that,
my clothes went out of style.
Did they only sing the Mexican National Anthem because Cinco de Mayo was coming up? Because neither of the fighters are from Mexico, or did someone just think Pacquiao was from Mexico?
Yeah, I think they announced that. I think they said, in honor of the fact that Cinco de Mayo is right around the corner, here's a Mexican guy that's going to...
In honor of the Mexican holiday that America made up, we're going to sing the national Mexican anthem.
They should have had the Mexican guy sing the American anthem.
That's
sure.
He would have done a better job.
Much
better.
They should have had Jamie Foxx pretend to be a Mexican guy.
Jamie
Foxx
should have sang it as Ray. You know? Then it probably would have been okay.
If you have not seen it, please go to YouTube. Look up the video and be careful because your ears may bleed after.
Oh, it was terrible. But yeah, anyway, so we watched that thing. We'll talk about that in a little bit because that's
Speaking of the Padres,
that's a big
all of us are enjoying the AleSmith 394.
This thing is delicious, Dan.
Yes, it is the Tony Gwynn.
R.I.P. T. Gwynn.
Yes.
Yep.
Pulling back for Tony.
Tony Gwynn beer by AleSmith that we are enjoying tonight. So no Kirkland. We got rid of that.
We upgraded.
Yeah. No shitty Golden Graham beers either.
Yeah.
If Brian, what'd you do? A couple weeks ago, we had shitty Golden Graham beer. That's what.
Brian, what'd you do this weekend, then?
I actually also attended a Padre game on Friday night when they just absolutely destroyed the Rockies.
14-2-3?
14, yeah. 14-2, and I think both of their runs were solo home runs. And then Saturday, I attended a little birthday shindig for a friend, and then, of course, watched the fight as well. I think I probably ate more on Saturday than I have in a long time. I was in some pain. And I just continued to eat as well because food just kept rolling
out. What were you eating?
Wow. Where do I start?
What weren't you eating?
Well, there was like Middle Eastern family. Ooh. Forgive me. I don't know which country. Ooh. So I won't attempt to
appreciate
guess.
The political correctness.
I've watched enough 24 in my time to learn.
Don't offend them. Do not offend
the Middle
them.
East.
Yep.
All right, me and Jack Bauer are like this. So, Middle Eastern family, they had, I don't know if like it's traditional food, but a lot of kebabs, a lot of pita bread, a whole lot of rice, just fried everything, like falafels and these meat sticks that legitimately looked like shit. Like a big just...
It's like the stuff they have at Subway in that tub that you don't want to ask what it is, right? It's that long log of shit. Have you ever seen that?
I don't know what Subway you might have been in the bathroom at Subway.
Maybe it was a drunk night. Maybe it was a drunk night at Subway. Anybody that goes into Subway, though, I think you know there's a tub of this brown stuff that you don't know what it is. And I'm assuming that that's what it is. And by the way, what the fuck is a falafel? I've never known. What is a falafel?
It's just like fried veggie paste.
Yeah.
It's just fried vegetables.
That sounds delicious like every other vegetarian dish I've ever had in my life. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, it's not in my top 10, but I sure ate the fuck out of it on Saturday. So they had all that stuff, and then they had like this whole dessert platter too with, you know, birthday cake, because it was... birthday party. Two different birthday cakes.
Ooh.
Second one showed up out of nowhere. Nothing but cakes. Red velvet.
Oh. Damn. And that was the second one?
That's the knockout punch that I did not want. I wanted that shit in rounds 1-12.
It sounds like the food hit you harder than Pacquiao hit Mayweather on Saturday.
Oh, it absolutely did. Yeah. Although the fight did put me to sleep.
Yeah.
Put a lot of people see. David, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. I also watched the fight. I didn't go to a Padres game, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
way to break the cycle.
But I watched the fight with my friend Brett, actually.
Woo!
And saw Avengers on Sunday, which I guess we'll get to later.
Yeah.
Also with Brett. So I had a full Brett weekend. It was terrible.
Brett and David date weekend.
Yeah, right?
I think there's an overload because Allison's told me about that. Like... After a couple hours, I think you kind of get sick.
Your own girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's why this show is only an hour and 15
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah. That's why we release it once a week in hour intervals. Yeah.
Well, I saw the Avengers 3 times this weekend.
What?
I had different groups of friends that wanted to see it, and I wasn't doing anything better, so I was like, you know, there's worse ways to spend $10 for 3 hours.
Where do you see the movie for $10?
Well, okay, $12.79. Does that make you feel better?
That does make me feel
so that's
better.
A Fandango fee included.
No Fandango fee included.
Oh, okay.
Is that a Costco price?
No, I got the rewards card, so no service fee.
Damn, you are a pro moviegoer. Wow.
When you see every movie 3 times, they give you the pro card.
No, the only
you're like a whale in Vegas.
The only other
you
movie...
spend so much money, they just give you discounts.
I think there's 2 movies I've ever seen 3 times in theaters before Avengers Age of Ultron. And that is The Dark Knight.
Okay.
And okay. I think Captain America Winter Soldier. And that was because I went to see it with my dad, too. Like, and that's been Days of Future Past, so I had to see it with my mom.
Oh,
good. So it's like parental obligations. I always make sure I'm going to go see it with them again. But I mean, sometimes, you know, it's fun to see movies with people who haven't seen them too, because then you different perspectives.
Yeah.
But I also, we hosted the fight on Saturday, and we had like 15 pounds of carne asada. So I'm right there with the food. We had my roommate's parents came over and we cooked, and they are a traditional Mexican family. So everything was loaded up with just deliciousness. And by 10:30, I was ready to be knocked out.
All right. Nice. Coma? Food coma.
Someone got knocked out.
We also started drinking at like 3 p.m.
Yeah,
right.
Because it was a holiday on Saturday, if you didn't know. it was the fight of the century, which started... Well, it wasn't even that. It was just a great sports day.
It was a great sports day. The Clippers Spurs. I know there is...
Before that, game seven. You know, there was some hockey playoffs, which were great to watch. And then you had the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
So we made some mint juleps and fucking watched that shit in the backyard.
Put on a stupid-ass hat.
Yep. Did not put on a stupid-ass hat.
Linen suit?
No linen suit, because we're just at home.
Wow.
Throw money down on loafers, stupid animal?
No socks?
I can say I wasn't wearing socks. Don't know about the loafers.
Hey, all right.
Okay, we'll you're halfway there. You're halfway. That's more than I was.
And then, yes, the Spurs... Clippers game 7, which came to the last seconds, which then led into an hour and a half of break before the fight. So it allowed us to
who cook, fought?
Eat, and well, there's two little fighters. I don't know if you've heard of them. Manny Pacquiao.
Oh,
he's probably best known as a karaoke singer, talk show host, and senator of the Philippines.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Floyd, quote, money, end quote, Mayweather,
who's Floyd,
better known as a woman beater, but also a 39-0 or 38-0?
I believe
39.
He is now 40-0.
Yeah.
He's 48-0.
I believe.
48-0.
With one more fight on his contract.
I heard that if you include the woman he beat, he's 53-0.
Ooh. Yeah.
Or he's not undefeated if you include literacy as a foe.
Ooh. Wait, coming in low.
Yeah.
We're deducting points. We are deducting
as
points.
As you tell, I'm not a Floyd running Mayweather fan.
Below the belt,
yeah. But yeah, so let's get into the fight. Let's start at the very beginning.
Can we talk about before we get into the fight? There was somebody I saw on Yahoo, I think Yahoo News, that actually did the most baller thing that day, and it was Gronkowski went from the Kentucky Derby, took a private jet to the Mayweather.
No, that was Tom Brady.
Oh, maybe he did it too. But Tom Brady looks like a fucking idiot.
Tom Brady
with whatever he does.
They interviewed him before the fight.
Yeah,
and you can tell he was gone.
Yeah,
he was loaded on everything and could barely get through.
Because you could tell, because he was trying to pretend like he knew what boxing was, and his head movements were like 5 seconds behind what was happening in the ring, and you're like, no, Tom, you look even stupider than you've ever looked before. Stop doing what you're doing and just disappear, please. But anyway,
he did the, like, when you take like a 6-year-old kid,
I said,
to
stupider.
A late night movie, and the kid's just trying to stay awake. Like, that's how he was in the fight. Because you could see him in, like, the third row back. And he was not doing well.
Oh, those were the head nods.
Yeah, I mean, well, the guy's in his late 30s.
And he's been hit a lot.
Yeah, he's been hit quite a few times. And you're asking the
Giselle
guy...
Giselle has a mean right hook.
To party all day long? We'd all be there.
Hey, Wes Walker does it like
a
baller.
We kind of did party all day.
But Wes Walker also snorts speed so that he can just power through.
That's true.
Yeah,
that is very true. That's not Kentucky.
Yeah. So there were a lot of celebrities at the fight. There was Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Can we talk about a few people that came out with the fighters? I don't know if
the entourage
was witness to. I nearly lost.
Who it was the circus?
Who you start with?
Circus.
Who you start
a,
with?
A guess. Either Jimmy Kimmel as Run DMC member, or was it the King himself?
It was the King. The King! The Burger King walked out with Floyd Mayweather, and I fucking laughed for at least 2 or 3 minutes when I saw him standing behind him.
How much money do you think Burger King paid Floyd
for that. Millions of dollars. Yeah. Millions of dollars.
And it just, all we can talk about is how awkward it is to have him walking behind you.
I'll tell you what, he is creepy as fuck. Like, you, do you remember those commercials when he was, like, showing
sneaking
up?
Sneaking up in bed, like, yeah. pulling the cover sheets
down. There's a
like,
burger. And you're like, holy shit.
I'm honestly surprised.
Is that a Whopper with cheese?
I'm honestly surprised no one's made a horror movie about somebody wearing the Burger King mask.
They dedicated three shitty video games to that fucking creepy mother guy. That mother guy.
Holy fuck, that's right. I totally forgot about those games.
But as David said, there was Jimmy Kimmel. And I thought he was dressed as Run DMC, but I was informed later.
Justin Bieber, right?
He was dressed up as Justin Bieber.
Oh, that's news to me.
Yeah.
Which made Justin Bieber not want to be shown on camera walking with Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, but I think he was wearing a suit. He was dressed up. Justin Bieber. The Biebs.
The Biebs. But I couldn't understand why anyone... Boxing is just completely about the money. It's not about the fans. It's not about the sport. It's not about the competitors. It's legitimately about how much can we whore everyone out to make as much money as possible.
It's the Kentucky Derby.
And I think that's...
I mean, it's
at least with the Kentucky Derby, there's tradition.
Sport. Yeah, but I mean, at some point, too, it's the same kind of clowns that are showing up to that venue to not watch sports at all. They're just strictly there to get on TV. It's like the Coachella of sporting events, I think. Like, where it's just people that are just trying to get FaceTime on a camera.
Some people are just trying to get drunk, man.
That's true, too.
Yeah. Have you had a mint julep?
Hey, but goddamn, I'm
they're not fucking refreshing.
Have you had a mint julep?
I'm not going to pay a Vegas mansion for it.
That's fine.
It, you
no,
know,
yeah.
to,
Trust,
to drink
yeah.
it in a fucking chair.
Especially when you could have Kirkland.
Exactly. We drank that last week.
Oh, this, but I do. It's delicious. Alesmith Pale Ale, $3.94. You know, if anyone wants to sponsor us, this wouldn't be a bad beer to be sponsored by.
Right. I do agree, though, that these events have gotten to the point where they become so unaffordable that your really dedicated fan is not able to attend because it's filled with celebrities who just want to be there to be there because it's the place to be.
Exactly.
Know? Well, let's talk about the fact that there was only 500 tickets made available.
Oh, right?
To
500
the
tickets. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that's crazy. That's nuts. And, you know, going back to celebrities, we, as the United States of America, had a great representative sing our national anthem.
Oh, he was, oh.
Actor, comedian. I don't know if we can still include singer on his resume.
Singer, comedian.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx sang our national anthem, and I think we all agree that he was awful.
Terrible. I was able to hear it for the first time today, and for a while, he had, like, I thought he was getting better. There was, like, one word, well, more one syllable that sounded good, and then back to crap.
See, he took out the earpiece right at the beginning. I never think that's a good
sign.
That's
not a good sign. That's not somebody that has performed on a lot of occasions.
Well, do you think that he just couldn't hear himself? Because as a singer, you do have to be able to hear yourself, or you won't be able to.
Or maybe he was hearing himself, and he was like, "I sound fucking terrible." Is that right?
I don't want to hear this.
That's true.
I mean, he added words to the national anthem.
I don't think I've ever seen somebody do that before. I don't think I've ever, like, I've seen Roseanne Barr utterly annihilate.
I've seen people forget words.
Yeah, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, take out words, forget them. Misuse them. I have never seen somebody legitimately just make it a Mad Libs. And like the national anthems was just like a Mad Libs at some point.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I don't know Lulia. If he had Floyd like write down the lyrics. And that's why he was so messed up.
Or he forgot that he wasn't at church. And he was singing the national anthem.
It wasn't a good start. It was not a good start.
No, it was a terrible start.
No.
Terrible start, middle, end.
Yeah.
And then,
agreed.
Then the actual fight, which went as many predicted, 12 rounds. And I think people got upset at the fact that there wasn't a lot of action. I have never watched Floyd Mayweather fight before.
Exactly, yeah.
He's a defensive counterpuncher, and that's why he's 48-0 is because he doesn't get hit. And that's exactly what he did to Pacquiao. There's one round where Pacquiao had three flurries of punches.
Pushed him against the
ropes. The ropes. And after every flurry, Floyd brought down his hands, shook his head, and said, nope. And that, even though I do not like Floyd Mayweather, was badass.
Yeah.
It was probably the most entertaining part of the entire fight, where you can just let this guy hit you in the arms for a good, like, half a minute and just shake your head every time and, like, intimidate him like that. And, I mean, it was sad because I really didn't want to see Floyd get his ass knocked out, but...
Yeah, I don't know why anyone thought that there's going to be a different result than what happened.
Than the decision.
After 47 times, I mean, there's no point in discussing another outcome if a guy is obviously not better or close to the same level as Floyd Mayweather.
What's crazy, though, is Pacquiao's still ranked number two boxer in the world. That's how far... It's like Tiger Woods in his prime when he was golfing. He could be number one, and the number two golfer in the world would be good, but would be way, way far from Tiger's lead.
Yeah. And he's almost 40 years old, too. That's the craziest part. You know?
I told you, he stays limber.
Do you think it? Because that thing was it was the most expensive fight of all time too.
Sure, fucking was.
Yeah, yeah. So, do you think it was worth the money that people were paying?
Absolutely not. We had absolutely not.
I don't. It came down. We had 20 people over. People threw in. It's gonna end up costing you really $5 for ours.
What would you put a monetary cost on that? On
I mean,
that
if event? I had, if I'm paying $5 for an hour of entertainment to watch a fight that because. You didn't want to miss out on it because everybody was watching it. And I think that was the bigger key, was that this was going to be something everyone was going to talk about. So it's not necessarily what you're paying for in terms of entertainment value, but it's the knowledge of what went on. Because, like, we just, all four of us said, we all watched the fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody who was anybody watched the fight.
You didn't want to be the one person who didn't watch it.
Exactly. So... On that note, though...
Oh, but I do want to answer that question. And fuck no, it was not worth
it. It was not worth...
The Avengers cost Dan $12.79.
I paid for it three times!
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's...
I wouldn't pay
a for... A three-hour experience. This fight lasts 36 minutes, and you get a bunch of sweat, a lot of hugging.
A lot of pissed-off people in the room that are just talking shit. Like, I mean, just frustrated with the thing that they're seeing.
And throwing Jamie Foxx and
Can we also talk about the fact that the judges incorrectly marked all of their scorecards?
I've heard about that with the red blue corner.
So you know each fighter has a designated corner by color, and that's how you are scoring the cards. There's a blue and a red, and so if Pacquiao was the red corner, Mayweather was blue, and they had scored the red corner to win each card. But it's because they were confused and thought Mayweather was in the red corner.
Yeah. I would say it falls on the line of conspiracy theory at this point.
It just shows stupidity. Yeah.
It's
like Vegas and boxing.
Boxing judges are idiots.
Yeah.
They're all corrupt. It's obvious at this point. And but there's nothing that's going to change about it either.
Let's just remember that boxing has a history of being run in shady places by shady people. Like, Vegas, for the most part, was built by the mafia, who ran all the boxing fights. So we can't really expect anything less.
Yeah. I've seen Daredevil. Other boxers take bribes. Yeah.
So what do you think you would have rather done with the $100?
Like, so if I had spent $100...
Let's throw it around the table here. What do you think you would have done with the $100 rather than watch that fight? Seen Avengers six more times. David, how about you?
He stole my joke. I was going to say Avengers three times and three tubs of popcorn.
Okay, okay. Those are expensive tons of popcorn.
God damn it! It sure does. You know, so I went to the movies last night and
didn't see Avengers.
And didn't see Avengers. But I was just so thankful that this was a location where there's a Target right next to the movie theater. And
Snack City.
Exactly. And when you go with a girl to the movies, you're generally going to have a large purse.
Yep.
So I spent, I think it was like $6.73 at Target. That spent a goddamn dime in the movie theater. And had magnificent time.
You're throwing shit away as you're walking out. Because you're like, I didn't even want this anymore.
I didn't even get to the gummy bears.
You either go with girls to the movies or you go wearing cargo shorts. If you don't do either of those, your
I'm never going to wear a pair of cargo shorts because my name is not John Cena. So we're going to go with the other option.
Did you make your girlfriend bring her largest purse?
No, she only owns large purses, so I knew it was going to be a winner, no matter which one she brought.
She wanted to pop popcorn before, put it in a Ziploc baggie, and bring it with her to the movies. I have friends that will do this, and that's, I think, is the ultimate cheap sign when you go to the movies. Yeah,
right.
If you're popping your own popcorn at home.
Popcorn's the most expensive thing if you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Well, I don't eat popcorn. Yeah. So.
It's like $6 or $7 for a small? For a small?
It's pretty ridiculous these days.
Oh, $100. So anyway, $100. I would go to Mexico and do some unspeakable things.
It's funny because you stole my joke at that point, too.
Boom!
Yeah, there we are. Yeah. I was going to say, I would go down to Mexico and bet on Mayweather winning. Like, as terrible as it sounds. Yeah.
I mean, $100 in Mexico, you could do anything.
I know. Yeah. Shit. Yeah, yeah.
You buy your own hotel,
right?
So, $90. I would bet $90. I would bet $90 after I did everything in Mexico. But yeah, and then also on that, speaking to what we discovered last week was our resident Pokemon expert, by the way.
Right.
Something I didn't know. I didn't know these people existed. But Dan, by the way, since you're such a Pokemon expert, who would you declare Manny and Mayweather as Pokemon?
It's a tough question. Let me, I've thought a lot about it. And, you know, again, I only recognize the original 152. It's, you know.
152?
Yeah.
It's kind
of
like,
OG 152.
152?
You know, I observe Catholicism and not, you know, everything that came after the 1500s.
We're talking about Pokemon.
And I would say that Pacquiao is probably Hitmon Champ. Hitmonchamp, if you don't know.
He's the only Asian Pokemon
He's a boxer. His special moves, he looks like a boxer. He's got hands that are boxing gloves.
Oh, snap.
And all his special moves are just punches. And that's because Pacquiao averaged, before this fight, 60-some-odd punches per round, which is like 20 above the average of any other boxer.
Uh-huh.
Which is ridiculous.
How are his political attributes?
Well, he kind of...
Does he stop civil wars?
Does he have +3 in negotiation?
Can he sing?
Can he sing?
Specifically karaoke.
I don't know his vocal talents very well, but he does kind of look like he could handle a mic.
Okay, okay.
And he doesn't wear anything offensive.
While punching people, or would this have to be two different occasions?
So if you want to leave, this is what he looks like in the game. At home, you can Google along.
Okay.
Hitmonchamp.
Hitmonchamp?
If you were asking, he's Pokemon 107. And he doesn't evolve from anything.
We know nobody's asking.
Or evolve.
We know nobody's asking.
So
he's the TJ combo of Pokemon.
Ooh.
Well, let me just say this. So there's another Pokemon that's like his opposite, which is Hitmonlee, which is kind of racist that he's a kicker, and so they named him Lee.
Oh.
No, that's just Pokemon creators being fucking lazy.
Yeah, yeah. They're just making shit up. They're just throwing letters together at that point.
Oh, we need a punch guy. Yeah, well, now we need a kick guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Change it to Lee.
So Hitmonchu, right?
Hitmonchamp.
So Hitmonchamp. would be facing who at the MGM Grand on May 1st?
May 2nd.
Second.
And this was tough because, again, there's no Pokemon that beat women. So I had to look at it, and I think I had to pick Kakuna for Floyd Mayweather.
Kakuna.
Yeah. And he is a stage of a Pokemon where he's a cocoon, and all he does is harden and play defense.
Okay.
But, makes sense. He will then evolve and be a bee that stings.
Stings like a bee.
So are you attributing to him?
Does he move like a butterfly?
Yeah, yeah.
No, he does not.
Okay, so
he moves like a cocoon. Stings like a bee. Or he moves like a bee. Stings like a bee.
Yeah. So I think I had to pitch something and just play defense, waits for it, doesn't really attack.
Yeah.
That's what I had to go with. And just real quick, if Pokemon were real, that's the scariest Pokemon because Beedrill is what it evolves into. And if that's like a 6-foot bee with drills for hands.
And that, so it's that coming at you scares with the stinger.
It's not a stinger and drills
for hands.
And 6 foot tall.
He seems like he's more offensive than.
No, that's what he would grow into.
Oh, okay.
That's the evolved.
My fault.
So that would be the post retirement.
Yeah,
Mayweather coming back for
one more fight.
But that's what I would imagine.
For one more $500
you would just literally have
with drill hands. Mortal Kombat.
Pokemon that just plays defense the entire time, and one Pokemon that just throws punches that don't land.
So would the Mayweather Pokemon be pretty much the most boring Pokemon?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Already half asleep. He's in a cocoon.
Yeah.
So that was the Pokemon when you were playing it on Game Boy. You were like, shit, I gotta wait like 5 minutes to watch this fight go down.
Literally.
Nothing's gonna happen.
It has no attacks. It has Harden, or like that's its main move. Its defense increases, so when it gets hit, it loses less life points.
How do you beat the battle? How do you beat it?
How does it attack you?
It has a tackle, so it'll like throw itself
after it hardens.
Yeah.
Okay. That's stupid.
It's basically the drunk frat boy of attack moves.
That sounds like the domestic abuser of Pokemon.
That's kind of where I went with
perfect.
It.
Perfect.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hardens up and then he and then beats the shit out of you. Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah.
That's great.
So I think this is a good time to take a break. Yeah, for a second. We'll come back with some of Brian's movie reviews.
We still have our guest,
David Usher, to talk about. We're going to interview him for a little bit. And then, we're going to wrap it up with some...
I think playoff updates as well.
Yeah, updates.
Playoffs!
And maybe some sports scandals.
Sports scandals are always good.
So we'll catch you on the flip side, y'all.
You know, Brian, I was thinking, have you, ever thought about what you would rate my fashion game?
Well, it does keep me up some nights.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's definitely a horrible, horrible thing.
Well, you know what I'm going to do to fix that? I'm going to go check out B-Rose at justaskb.net. They are a couple friends of mine that run a fashion blog, fashion service, and photography company.
Oh,
locally based out of San Diego. They're the experts of every hot trend. We'll be able to help you out, personalize your style. And I think that may be something I need to look into. And then after I get your approval on my fashion game, I may have them do, you know, maybe some headshots. Because, you know, once our podcast takes off, I'm probably going to be the fast track to stardom. I may need all that. So if you are interested in checking out a great fashion blog, you need some fashion advice, or need a photography service, please check out justaskb.net, or you can follow them on Instagram at justaskb.
Just ask B. It's that easy. It be that easy. Just ask B. All right, y'all. For our special guest, Mr. Usher, and maybe for those first-time listeners, that saxophone means it's time for Brian's employed movie reviews. Used to be unemployed, but then I got a job, so we changed it to employed.
Yet he still has all this free time to see so many movies, except the Avengers.
Hey, man, I'm a multitasker, but I'm not a miracle worker, all right?
Pink slips to paychecks, biatch.
That's the tagline for my movie reviews. But before I forget, guys, I know you got that pan de leche left over from Cinco de Mayo, but just put it down. It's going to be worth it because I'm about to hit you with two of the best movies that I've seen in a long time. The names of these movies are Ex Machina and Kingsman: The Secret Service. So I attended the movie theaters last night and did not see The Avengers, but did see Ex Machina.
Heard a lot about it.
Yeah, this movie has been, I think, a hit that's kind of gone under the radar, very critically acclaimed, but, you know, not like a big mass release. But saw it last night, and man, it was awesome. One of my new favorite guys, Oscar Isaac, in this movie.
Star Wars!
If you did not listen to our episode last week...
Shame on you.
Shame on you, first of all. Three Hail Marys. Just kidding. I'm not religious. I reviewed A Most Violent Year, which Oscar Isaac starred in. Was great in that movie. Great in this movie as well. He plays a, like a Mark Zuckerberg type, but his product is essentially Google.
Okay.
But, you know, with Google, there's whatever that CEO's name is, Larry Summers or whatever his name is. I don't think he is as big of a mainstay as, like, Mark Zuckerberg as, like, the founder for...
Like this. A public figure.
Right, founder. Right. Exactly. Like Steve Jobs was, you know, just the face of the product. So Oscar Isaac plays this guy who's just secluded in his, like, crazy giant estate in his big mansion full of laboratories and rooms with servers and all this shit because he's working on all these secret projects. The plot of the movie is that this one guy working for Oscar Isaac's company wins this contest where he's invited to stay with him for a week. Story unfolds that he wants to use this guy as part of his experiment because he created an AI and wants to do a Turing test, which is essentially having someone determine if the AI can pass as a human being. So the simple question of this test is this person that you've, or is this thing you're communicating with conscious? Like, do they have a conscious and awareness? Yeah. Right. So lots of interesting twists. I thought I knew what the twist was going to be and was far from correct. So really? The ending's really good. It's really cool.
So it wasn't Ethan Hawke
time travel. Ethan Hawke did not show up and jump out of his time machine and let himself know that he was fucking himself and creating himself.
Motherfucker Jones.
Yeah.
That goes all the way back to our first episode. That's that reference.
Lord. But anyway, yeah, so this movie was awesome. Definitely a modernized ode to 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Ooh, nice.
You know, with that theme of man versus machine and, you know, like the relationship that can develop there. But in the end, it's still a goddamn computer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, go see that movie. Ex Machina. I'm giving it 4 paychecks out of 5.
Woo!
Really, really cool. You know, not a lot of action, really. It's definitely a thriller that builds up. But the action's great. Cinematography is great. The design, like, simple and modern, you know, much like 2001 had showed off. So you definitely get, like, a Kubrick vibe out of this movie. And it was refreshing to see a really good movie in theaters.
Does it make you think a lot?
I mean, it doesn't necessarily make you think. It does make you wonder when this is going to happen. Okay. You know, I know Japan's working eventual on those, like, life-like robots that are starting to read emotion and things like that. So, you know, that kind of gets you thinking a little bit. But it's just, yeah, a really cool story, great acting, good ending. So go fucking see it.
Who directed that, by the way? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my
head. Okay. Because I'm curious to know if he's a new director. Because I've heard a lot about that too, and yeah.
Yeah, the direction's great. It definitely takes you on a ride. So yeah, two thumbs up.
Drama, thriller, science fiction, blend of everything.
Yeah, I would say definitely a drama mixed with a thriller.
Okay.
Because at the end, motherfuckers die. Shit goes down, and it's definitely an ending you don't expect.
Yeah.
So it's cool, yeah. The next movie that I'm going to talk about is Kingsman, The Secret Service.
I've heard a lot about this. So is this, like, is this a comic book movie? Is this a, like, what, I don't know. These trailers seem very misleading to what this actually is.
Yeah, great question. I don't actually know if it's from a comic book. Now that
we'll
I think about it,
research team.
Yeah. We'll get our stat boys to jump right on that.
But I mean, is it real? Like, explain. Yeah, sorry, not to jump into the review, but I am super curious to hear about what this actually is.
So it's an R-rated action movie, and it's honestly one of the best movies that I've seen in a long time.
Really?
Based off the comic book, The Secret Service.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There you go.
There we are. Okay.
So, the action in the movie definitely feels like it could be from a comic book, but it's also not so far out of realism where it's ridiculous, like The Matrix or something like that.
People aren't jumping off of walls and just anti-gravity.
Right, yeah, right, okay. Exactly. But, you know, it's still not as realistic as, like, John Wick, where that just feels gritty and...
By the way, they greenlit a John Wick 2, not to interject, but we've got more Keanu on the way.
I wonder if he's going to get another dog.
Back to the Kingsman.
Awesome movie. Like I said, probably one of the better movies I've seen in a long time. I love me some R-rated action picks, and this did not disappoint because it's got that perfect blend of just super violent, nonsensical action with a little bit of comedy and, you know, like a good storyline, and get to care about these characters, some of whom always die. I will say Samuel L. Jackson, who plays the villain, like he's a villain in the movie, but his intention is to make the world a better place. Kind of sort of like his character in Unbreakable, where he was doing bad shit
glass
as his justification for, you know, finding the superhero, the one, Bruce Willis, to make the world a better place so he can, you know, discover his powers, yada yada. So he talks to a Lisp throughout the whole movie. He's supposed to be this, you know, genius billionaire who in his late 50s still dresses like he's Flavor Flav. You know, it's just a little ridiculous. But, man, Colin Firth just owns motherfuckers in that movie. He lays the smackdown with his king speech. Just absolutely decimated.
Really?
In the break, we all watched this one particular
which was insane.
Yeah. I mean, he probably kills at least 20 or 30 people in this one scene alone.
And I'm rooting for him to kill every single one of them.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Just kill them. Kills them in awesome fashion.
Yeah. I mean, he's shooting women in the face and just loving every second of it. Taken out of context, watch the movie, you'll understand. But yeah, this movie was awesome. And this film, I'm giving 5.
Nice.
Wow.
Out of
all
5
right.
paychecks.
Nice, nice.
All right.
Just enjoyed every second of it. The pace is really great. A lot of great actors in it. Samuel Jackson, like I mentioned, Colin Firth. I don't know who the main kid is. Max Strong's in it, who's really good as well. And then there's another supporting actress. Michael Caine. Alfred himself is also in it.
Who legitimizes
Arthur.
Any
also, the Kingsman, what they do is they have like a round table. And so all these secret agents have different knight names. So Michael Caine is Arthur. He runs the show. Galahad is Colin Firth's character. Who
is Mark Strong Lancelot?
No, he is Merlin.
Ooh.
So he kind of plays the Q character out of like the Bond series. And yeah, I mean just great movies and like I mentioned, great actors. And speaking of great actors,
Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson
was the
villain here to save the day
with a lisp, right?
Sure was.
And how was that?
He was the biggest pussy of all legitimate villains. He couldn't watch violence. Like, seeing blood would make him throw up. So, he's like laying plans to have all these people fight and kill each other. And he's got like a henchman who kills people all the time. Oh, but he can't see blood. He's squeamish.
Nasty villain.
Yeah, right? Really intimidating. Power of his mind. Samuel Jackson, great actor, well-seasoned to say the least.
I mean, he is literally in every other film that's released.
He is.
Him and Kevin Bacon trying to compete. And Morgan Freeman I would put on there, too.
I wouldn't say Kevin Bacon anymore.
Oh, well, because he's got his TV show now, the following.
Right.
But I feel like Morgan Freeman, Samuel Jackson kind of compete at who can be in the most movies possible.
Samuel Jackson. And he wins every time.
I'm sorry to interject at that point too, but I think Kevin Bacon was extremely missed for the remake of the It role too.
Oh,
because they casted Pennywise the other day, and I think Kevin Bacon would have made an extremely good.
What do you mean they casted Pennywise?
Pennywise.
The evil clown.
Ian Poulter is the evil clown. Or William Poulter, I think.
It's a young kid, right?
Yeah, it's the guy from We Are the
Miller,
We're the Millers.
And Maze Runner.
Yeah.
Who looks goofy, so I wouldn't expect him to be the creepy kid at school.
Sorry.
So.
Yeah, not to interject.
But, this is all about, Kevin Bacon. Great career. Maybe some misses here and there, but he's got some great film roles now. The Following is a very successful television show. Samuel Jackson, iconic. So I think he's one of the most iconic actors of our time so far.
Yeah, and that's what we need to talk to you about, Dan, right now.
Speaking of iconic actors.
Yeah, iconic actors. Brian, do you want to bring it up?
Yeah, sure will. And this is with no disrespect at all
to Ben Affleck. No disrespect to Ben
Affleck. No, much disrespect to Ben Affleck for a lot of shitty movies that you made, bro. Reindeer Games, Julie, come on. But Mad props. The town was
Jersey
shit.
Girl. You did Jersey Girl.
Oh God,
retire. Hang it up. Hang it up.
Kevin Smith too.
Hang it up.
Just blame him.
Anyway, though.
Anyway, this individual that I do not want to bear any offense to, the incomparable Harrison Ford.
Yes.
I mean, from this great classic, The Fugitive.
It was the one-armed man.
Which this is the theme music for The Fugitive. If you didn't know, this is what you can expect when you're watching that classic movie.
So everybody, if you want to listen to last week's episode, Dan made an extremely bold claim that we're going to challenge him to right now, because I think actually David sides with Dan too on
this.
Oh,
he certainly
does. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because who would?
He sounds like he sides with Dan on this too. David's in the restroom right now, and he's coming back in 30 seconds. So, anyway.
Ah!
All right.
Wait. First of all, we went through shitty Ben Affleck movies, and no one mentioned, what was it, Geely? Giggly?
We mentioned Giggly.
Okay, Giggly. My bad.
He was in love. How can you blame him?
No, I think we need to quadruple.
We were all in love.
I think we all need to quadruple mention that movie, because it was all that shitty, though.
I hate to beat a dead horse.
And if you've never seen it, don't see it.
No.
I've never seen it.
No, David.
No,
David, beat the shit out of a dead horse if it's that shitty of a
horse.
No, please, beat the shit out of a dead horse if it's that shitty of a horse. So, what we were talking about,
though... Speaking of dead horses,
yeah,
back to Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
Ah.
Yes. So, Dan made a bold claim last week.
And I was supposed to go. It wasn't last week. It was two episodes ago.
I'm sorry. Two episodes ago that, quote-unquote, Harrison Ford is the best actor of the last 1900s. The last half of the 1900s. So, Dan, would you care to defend that before...
Of course.
Before I proposition to you to defend that, would you like to hear an argument to your defense, or would you like to defend it before?
I'm going
to
come out swinging. Something,
oh, okay. That's bold. Okay.
I'd actually like to hear Usher's side first.
Yeah, let's hear
this. Since he hasn't had a chance to weigh in.
We've got Darren Shapiro here on the defense team coming out swinging over here. What's up, David Usher?
First of all, I object.
Overruled!
Who's the competition? I mean, like, what are we talking here? De Niro?
I think you can mention De Niro, right?
I don't know, a guy named Denzel Washington.
They're probably going to come with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Might I advise you that mentioning circumstantial evidence might be... negative towards your case at
it
this
might
point.
Not be a good idea. There's another guy named Tom Hanks. Another fellow named Leonardo DiCaprio.
Save it for me.
I don't want to steal any of Dan's thunder.
Go right ahead, because I will piggyback and I've got you.
Six words. Han Solo, Indiana Jones, Jack Ryan. I mean,
that's really tough to beat.
Like other really dramatic roles as well.
Absolutely.
Yep. That does take some scene.
Performance in Indiana Jones Crystal Skulls.
That was
or
post
the Crystal
2000.
Skull?
That was
post 2000. Yes. I'm sorry.
We're talking 1950 to 2000.
To 1999.
Yep. I'm sorry. The judge has ruled that out of evidence. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's Shia LaBeouf's
fault.
I'm talking about great classics where you get liners like maybe this from Air Force One.
Oh, okay.
Where he
kicks
Gary Oldman's ass
right
off his plane.
Okay.
And Gary Oldman's a pretty nasty bad guy here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gary Oldman should be, you know, in contention for one of, you know, the most seasoned actors.
He did throw him off a plane.
And he got his ass thrown
kicked
off
his
a
ass.
Plane. But not just the three characters that David mentioned, but Harrison Ford also starred in movies like Blade Runner and The Fugitive and Air Force One, which weren't repeating characters. They were one-time movies that made him one of the most box office successful actors of that time period. If you start with Star Wars all the way through the late 90s.
Fantastic. How many Academy Awards does Harrison Ford have?
How many Academy Awards has Leonardo DiCaprio won? They don't mean shit.
Okay.
Okay.
And Scorsese didn't win until The Departed in 2006. And we all knew he should have won before that.
And Denzel had zero before 2000 as well. Is that correct?
That is true.
Right,
so Denzel's out of the picture here.
Yeah, that is evidence we will throw out at this point.
Well, we still got a couple Italians in the mix.
Hey, we will bring it. So, is there any other evidence that you gentlemen would like to bring to the table before...
Harrison Ford was nominated in 1986 for Best Actor in a Leading Role, by the way.
Was it Witness?
Oh, nominated.
Yeah, Witness? It was nominated.
Witness?
It was Witness.
Yeah, Witness. Oh.
I'm just saying. Please. Nomination is a great role.
That was about an Amish kid. Yeah.
No, it was he was a witness hiding out on an Amish farm.
I'm sorry. All right.
I'm just going to leave and go run to see that movie because it sounds so engaging.
But
an Amish farm?
Because
when you think back on some of the greatest movies you've seen, he is repeatedly an actor that comes up. You can't say that about more than, I think, five other actors. Now, when you think about the greatest movies you've seen, and you think about the actors involved in those movies, Harrison Ford is among the elite that repeats.
I'll agree.
I would agree with that. Or we would agree with that. Yeah. Now, is it our turn
to... Go right ahead. I would like to hear the rebuttal.
So we would agree with that. Harrison Ford has had the best roles in the latter half of the 1900s. Indiana Jones, Jack Ryan, President of the United States.
Dr. Richard Kimball.
Married to Meg Ryan.
Married.
Was he, or was he just in a plane with her and he was stuck there?
No, yeah. I don't know if that
either
was...
way, that should have been lost.
Yeah, that one was...
That's purgatory, trapped on an island with Meg Ryan.
Yeah, yeah.
And no way to escape. Or was it
Nobody
Anne Hathaway?
Nobody wishes that on anyone.
Or was it Anne Hathaway?
I'm trying to... No, Annette Bening.
Are you talking
Bening. 6 days, 7
nights here?
Yes.
Anne Hathaway.
Little too...
Breaking our argument, Brian. Damn it! Breaking our argument. All right, so we would argue that he does have very good roles in the... Very good character roles in the...
Oh, great roles.
Yeah, in great roles. As an actor, has he created these characters that are so iconic to film? No.
That's like the chicken or the egg, where you're taking away his credit because you're saying he didn't write the characters, but he still has to portray those characters on screen to make you... enjoy them and to make you want more of them.
He's portrayed these. Okay.
I will say, one, he made Han Solo. I don't think any other actor could have done that in that time period.
I mean, Lando Calrissian tried to be Han Solo and he wasn't very. He even wore his clothes.
He was cool. Yeah. So cool, but not as cool as
Okay, him. Okay. But that's the surface level argument that we're gonna do right here is whatever. That guy has landed. Without a doubt, the most crucial character roles that have been iconic.
Just the coolest. He's the coolest actor.
He is the coolest.
But you said the best.
The best.
You said the best.
Which is to another Mount of Olympus step.
Better than Robert De Niro. Better than Denzel Washington, Al Pacino, Jack Nicholson. Who else we want to throw
Redford.
In there? Yeah, Robert Redford, Tom Hanks.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Dustin
Get
Hoffman.
Out of here. Richard Dreyfuss?
Mr. Holland's Opus.
We're going to need a bigger boat. He doesn't even say that line.
Okay. David and I are going to... Well, no. David and I are not going to fight.
It's the field. Right. It's Harrison Ford. We're not going to do that. It's Harrison Ford versus the field.
Let's eliminate people here because Denzel, I love him. He had some great movies. I love Virtuosity. I mean, come on. But he doesn't compare. I think the only people that compare are Jack, Robert, and maybe Al Pacino. Robert Redford, get out of here with that.
Tom Hanks?
Robert Redford, really?
Tom Hanks, I think you have a very good argument for, because in the 90s, it was Tom Hanks' decade.
It sure was.
It was strong with Philadelphia, Apollo 13, Forrest Gump. That was a very strong time period. Sleeping Seattle
was in the 90s, wasn't it?
But yeah, but we can't. Come on, stop this nonsense. In the 90s, Harrison Ford also had some very good movies.
Well, let us bring out our evidential proof right now. Calling to the stand right now is Daniel Day-Lewis. Coming out, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Triple D.
What would you like to say about your acting career in the last half of the 1990s? Oh, you dropped the mic. Oh, okay. That's pretty circumstantial right there. So
okay. The Crucible.
So what he did, Last of Mohicans, and The Crucible,
some great movies, but not the amount that Harrison did.
Plus, okay. I don't really care.
Are we judging? So volume is determining
it's not volume. Let's not, because if it was volume again, Samuel Jackson would win.
Okay.
He was in Deep Blue Sea and a shark ate him. We don't even know why he signed up for that movie, but he did. What we're talking about is Harrison Ford has his own Mount Rushmore of great film franchises.
Again, what makes him hit a cool actor? It doesn't make him the best actor.
It does not make him the best actor.
Robert De Niro. Taxi Driver, The Godfather. Name a performance by Harrison Ford that is better than either one of those.
Han Solo. Witness.
Oh my god.
Kimball.
Dr. Richard Kimball.
Jack Ryan.
Dr. Richard Kimball.
Doctor. I mean.
He grew a beard and then shaved it.
Yeah. Quit giving him so much credit, too. He was on the run. He was stripped of his medical license as soon as he was on the run.
If you earned that degree, you were always a doctor.
Richard Kimball.
You were always a doctor.
He called him doctor.
Falsely accused, so therefore his doctor-ness, whatever you call it, should not have been stripped. I mean, it's unfair.
Yeah, okay.
Ran away.
So they will constitute that at the end of the movie. But he is Richard Kimball for this entire fucking movie that we are debating.
With cuffs on.
Yeah. Can we talk about that?
He is a fugitive, and he is stripped of his medical license. He is Richard Kimball. So,
what about how he jumps out of that pipeline, which would kill a regular human being? Did not kill Harrison Ford.
Oh, because he acted that scene so well. He acted that scene so well.
I think his stunt double should be in the conversation then. Because he probably was Indiana Jones and Han Solo and most of that shit, too.
Yeah, you know,
I think he earns it just sheerly on the number of Nazis he's killed in film.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's credible, but that's a character.
That he's playing. That you could have put somebody in that would not have been as good as Harrison.
Okay, so would you argue that Sylvester Stallone's Rocky is as good as Harrison Ford?
He's great in that role as Rocky, and I don't think there are many other actors that could have done a performance like Sylvester did in 1 through 4.
Okay.
But he only had like Rocky and Rambo. That's it.
He didn't have these great one-time movies, these other movies that were successful that weren't built around a franchised character. Like Harrison Ford has.
Like Indiana Jones
Blade Runner. And I'm talking about Witness.
There was one Blade Runner.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Is that he could make movies that weren't built around franchise characters that were successful, popular, and great.
Okay. But that doesn't constitute a great... Okay. So I...
What does constitute a great actor?
Oh my god. Okay. I'm going... Here's my top pick to compete against Robert De Niro. To compete against Harrison Ford.
It's Robert
De
Niro.
And I just dropped it. Robert De Niro. Let's just go through a few of his movies. I don't know. Vito Corleone, The Godfather Part 2, Taxi Driver, The Deer Hunter, Raging Bull, Brazil, that we forgot about.
Oh,
the Untouchables.
Terry Gilliam.
And the Untouchables.
Goodfellas. Forgot about that. Cape Fear. Ooh, maybe not his
favorite. Yep.
No,
Casino.
No,
hey.
Cape Fear is
Casino,
the
Casino,
right?
Heat, Sleepers, Marvin's Room, Copland, Wag the Dog, Jackie Brown.
Wag the
Roman.
Dog?
Now I'm just reading.
We're
going to
cut this out,
reading.
Right? Wag the Dog?
Throw that shit out. We're going to throw that evidence out. I'm sorry.
I mean...
That was worse
we're talking about the best actor.
But wait. So if Princess Leia tells you she loves you, what do you say? You say you love her back. But not Han Solo, not Harrison. He says, I know. And I'm pretty sure he wrote that in himself. I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
And he shoots first, damn it. He shoots first.
Dude, ask questions later.
Greedo shoots first. It doesn't make him better. He tried to kill Michelle Pfeiffer in What Lies Beneath. He's a terrible person.
She wasn't as hot then, though. Let's be honest.
That's true.
Still pretty
hot.
That's true.
Not like Scarface hot.
Yeah, that's true. Scarface hot was Michelle Pfeiffer hot. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we're going to be able to argue about this anymore.
We'll leave it to the listeners.
That.
But I think we've both posed up great arguments to this point. And I think we got something else to talk about, too.
I would say, you know, listeners, maybe you could make this decision towards the end of the year when you go watch Robert De Niro in Meet the Fockers 4 and you watch Harrison Ford in Star Wars Force Awakens.
Well, I'll still stack my chips towards Robert De Niro on his career than one movie in 2015.
Yes. Anything past the 2000s does not count, remember?
Oh!
How about Harrison Ford being the third all-time highest grossing actor?
It has to speak for something.
We're talking about the best actor of...
Money talks.
The second half of a century, and you're bringing up facts that have no affiliation with his acting skills. He's got the coolest roles of all time, most likely.
Perhaps.
I'll agree with that.
Okay.
Perhaps.
He's the third grossing actor of all time. Fantastic. Samuel Jackson might be the number one grossing actor of all time because he's been in so many goddamn movies.
Eddie Murphy's number two.
Your Honor, I would also like to bring this into evidence. Harrison Ford's left ear ring piercing when he's 6 years old. I think that completely discredits him from being a good actor.
I think what recredits him is the fact that he flies his own helicopters and planes to help save people.
And crashes them everywhere!
And crashes them.
He gets drunk and crashes them everywhere!
And walks away.
Limps.
With broken limbs!
Limps away.
But walks.
He hobbles
limps,
away.
Limps, walks,
you crash
hobbles.
A plane and tell me if you survive.
Yeah.
Okay,
I will.
Alright, I think
please
that's
don't.
Right. This could go on forever and could get violent.
Yeah,
More violent than the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Let's leave it to the listeners, though.
We should.
Yeah.
One thing that I think we should also cover that maybe was the highlight of this past Saturday was the Clippers versus Spurs Game 7.
Sure was. Woo! Clip show. Blake Griffin just steamrolling the entire team.
Yeah. If you didn't see, this game went right down to the last second. Between third-ranked Los Angeles Clippers, sixth-ranked San Antonio Spurs, and the Clip Show was able to hold out and on the back of an injured Chris Paul, win that game.
That was big for Chris Paul's career.
Yep.
Because he's been known to, I should say no, but he's been judged as someone that shies away from the moment. That can't come through in big spots. And he, in that little fadeaway floater off the backboard.
Just a prayer. Threw it up.
Against the champs. Against Tim Duncan defending if I...
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right?
Don't get me wrong. Great shot.
Prayer. He went 9-for-13. 9-for-13 in Game 7 against the champs.
Yeah.
But you're a Clippers fan, so I digress.
Yeah. I'm a Clippers fan. So excited. Not that I dislike the Spurs, but, I mean, they've won it enough. Like, let somebody else have a go.
Because that's a reasoning. You've won too much, yeah, so.
You're just too old at this point. And
apparently Tim Duncan's not, because he has...
Tim Duncan's not, but Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili both have seen consistent declines in their field goal percentage year over year.
But my boy Kawhi.
Oh, Kawhi's a beast.
He's going to keep them relevant for years.
Oh, yeah. Because he's a threat on both ends of the floor. You can stick him on anybody, and he's becoming a mismatch, much like LeBron James.
He's
ridiculous because
he's not just a defender, but he can still score
at
will. It's actually rumored that the Spurs are going to offer him a max contract that's going to be worth up to $117 million.
Wow.
Which is great for him because all he's going to do is give that money to his mom.
San Diego State.
Yes, if you don't know who Kawhi Leonard is, he is a San Diego State alumni. Probably the most successful athletic alumni next to a one Tony Gwynn
or
and
Marshall
a two Marshall Fultz. He's going to be up on the Mount Rushmore of SDSU athletics. Maybe Steven Strasburg makes his way there. We'll see.
Right.
But other than just that, the NBA playoffs have been kind of crazy.
They sure have. A lot of road teams winning.
Yeah,
really great series, you know?
The Wizards come out and they shot the Hawks at home. The Bulls beat Cleveland, even though I think they have home court advantage in that series. Do they, or is it the Cavs?
Oh, Cavs have
Cleveland does, yeah. They won big tonight, though.
Yeah, because LeBron donned the headband once again.
Yeah, what is up with that?
So
he got his hair back. So I think he's, you know, showing it off.
Okay, so...
And,
like,
and then justifying it as team unity, because nobody else wears a headband.
Yeah,
so he stripped the headband.
When he came into the league, he always sported, like, a headband, and then as his hairline receded, the headband got a little thicker. But...
It also receded, I believe.
Yeah, it started to creep towards
like
the middle of his head. Yeah.
Yeah. And when he rejoined the Cavs this year, nobody else was wearing a headband. And so... He said that he stopped around, I think, January wearing the headband so he could look more uniform with his teammates. Which, I mean...
So what's that, more
that's
average?
That's what you want to do, I guess. I mean, Kyrie is pretty good, but I wouldn't want to look like Kevin Love. But that was they made this such a big deal over the weekend about headbandless LeBron and how he's
headband
changed
gate.
His look. Yeah, headband gate. Or hatch a headband. And you know
Stop.
What? For some reason, he just decided to put it on tonight and had 22 points in the first half and just destroyed Derrick Rose and the Bulls.
Talking about that headband gate, our buddy Ash has a lot to say about this whole journalists and, yeah. Ash, take it away, man.
why do we have to call every scandal in every sport? We have to add gate on the end. Deflate gate, spy gate. I know there's more. We can't come up with anything better. The thousands and thousands of members of the sports media. That's all they got. Gate. Let's just put a gate on the end. I hate it. And hack a Shaq, hack a Randolph, hack a Jordan. It doesn't rhyme.
Andre.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Stop it. Kill it. I hope this gets out. You guys are unoriginal. It's terrible. You get paid a lot of money to be creative. This is what you went to school for. Just stop.
So speaking of Deflategate. Good point, Usher. The NFL released their report on their investigation of the Patriots today. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this.
Yeah, quite a thorough and lengthy report with a very interesting conclusion.
Yeah, I think it's the bitchiest cop-out I've ever seen, where they stated that the Patriots were probably at fault and did it on purpose, and Tom Brady most likely knew.
Maybe.
Possibly, but we're not sure.
Perhaps.
I don't know if, like, they're supposed to be winking while they're releasing this report, like, wink, wink, but why just say they did it or they didn't do it? Like, how do you come to a not conclusion as your conclusion?
This just reminds me of, like, being back in the day in school when... Do you remember when you would do something sneaky or whatever and like you would be like, hey, Matt, Tom, do not tell anybody I did this. Do not tell anybody I did this or whatever. And then you go back to, like, you'd hide something away or whatever. And then you go back to class or whatever and the teacher would be like, all right, who took the ruler and hid it in the playground, and Tom would be like, I don't know. And he'd, like, he'd hold his nose and then just, like, secretly just point at you like, it's that guy. It's that guy. I know it's that guy. It's that guy. That's what it reminds you of. It's just this half-assed copying of telling on people, but you're not really telling on people.
I don't know.
Like that's what it reminds me of, is you know you've got circumstantial, like, you have proof. I'm getting on this judicial thing now that we've argued this bullshit the last, yeah. So anyway, you have proof that these people are caught into this thing, and everybody's like, well, yeah, we know that they were guilty, but we don't want to be the people that call them out on this. We don't.
I feel like the NFL is just afraid that the Patriots may have more Aaron Hernandezes on their roster and don't want to be a snitch that gets stitched. Like,
well, it's just more. I mean, think about it. If they came out with this investigation and their determination was that the Patriots cheated 100%, everybody knew, but they still came out and destroyed. Who was it? The Ravens?
They destroyed the Colts.
The Colts. That's right.
But they had only previously beat the Ravens the week before by like three or
less. Right. I mean, imagine all that headache and all of that just drama that's going to cause if you tell the public that the Super Bowl champions were cheating and, you know, all of the possible repercussions that could come with that. It's much easier to say, oh, we can't determine it 100%. You know, most likely they cheated, but we can't exactly say. And then it's just swept under the rug and nobody ever talks about it again.
Yeah.
Now, they also tested the Colts balls and they found 3 out of 4 were deflated as well. So.
Oh. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. Did not hear about that either.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh. And also, Dr. Bill Belichick, you know, said the atmospheric conditions were proper enough to deflate the balls.
And then Bill Nye said that motherfucker was a liar.
Yeah, for sure.
Bill Nye was holding balls on this interview and said he doesn't know what he's talking about because then the Colts balls would have been deflated. But on your
meanwhile, those football said, "Fuck the Patriots, yeah. I hate them."
But on David Usher's gate theory is that now Brady is calling this frame gate. That they're out to get Tom Brady, they're out to get him, and he's calling it Framegate.
Fuck Framegate, kill that guy.
Yeah. Fuck him, like, Tom Brady in the face.
Punch, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, that guy is a piece of shit. I mean,
whoa.
You got anything personal against Tom Brady?
That guy showed up. I mean,
why?
I don't like him already. I don't like him already. And watching him after paying, I'm not going to mention how much, to see him in the background of the Pacquiao fight for 12 rounds, pretending like he knew what boxing was about, and just being completely shit-faced the entire time it just solidified my opinion about him.
I'm pretty sure Tom Brady's been a douchebag since 2005, and
he's the Gwyneth Paltrow of...
Yes!
He's the Gwyneth Paltrow of males, like he exists in this world where you're like, no, that doesn't happen to real people.
His
main
sponsor is UGG.
Yeah.
UGGs.
No.
Well, he gets them every year for his linemen.
I mean, he does these things where you're like, no, real people don't do that, and even celebrities don't do that to try to act like real people. Like, you are so detached, just. Shoot him off to another fucking planet. Yeah, that's how I feel.
And I think he needs to be suspended at least 4 games. I think that they have enough cause to say that this is just like if you were to fail a performing-enhancing drug test.
Yeah, you're
and
fucking
that,
cheating.
That penalty is 4 games, and they should suspend him. However, I don't think...
So should
think,
they suspend the Colts, too?
I don't think they should... Why?
They I mean, if they
balls,
if they found those...
Balls.
Yeah, if they found they those balls...
Oh,
yeah. So...
I think he should get suspended... But if anything, it'll probably be a game, maybe.
Or the first half, right?
Most likely some money.
I don't think they should fine or suspend Bill Belichick, however. Because then you should suspend or fine a coach every time a player tests positive for steroids or performing enhancing drugs. Because this is the same thing. It's not. They don't have any proof that Belichick did anything to the balls or did anything or told Brady to do this. And so I think that he really has no response. I mean, he has responsibility, but there shouldn't be consequences that fall on him. It should fall on Tom Brady. And he deserves probably more than whatever he's going to get from the NFL.
Yeah.
Squishy ball gate.
Squishy ball gate.
Stop.
Squishy ball
Stop gate.
No gate.
Bill Belligate.
Yeah, we'll title this episode Stop Gate. Hack a Stop Gate.
Yeah, yeah.
Gate, gate.
Gate. So, Bo I mean, that, yeah, I mean, that's, I
Banana
guess.
Banana Fanta.
Banana Fanta.
Poke bait.
I don't even.
So, I think one thing we brought Usher on here to talk about a story, though, that I don't think anybody else can tell other than Usher. And
it's why he spent that time in jail?
Yeah, well, it's about that time spent in jail. Yeah, shh. Well, that one.
We're bringing him on for another episode.
Oh, okay.
No. But anyway.
Oh, why is this registered sex offender?
Third episode.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No. All my secrets.
No. So we brought Usher on because he can tell this story best. And I think it's about somebody that we know that really kind of... Usher, take it away.
Really kind of...
Great lead-in, Brett, by the way.
I mean...
Has this person been a guest on the show?
No,
before?
I don't even know
what you're talking about.
But he has not. Here knows.
Yeah, this camping, person. Camping story. Adolfo.
With Mr. Should I name him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we can talk about Adolfo.
I mean, we don't want our million listeners to, you know about this guy, do we?
Adolfo Oriana.
Okay, Adolfo. Adolfo. So we're camping. Brett was with us. Was Brian there?
I was there.
Brian was there, yeah. but they were, I believe, in bed by this point, camping outside of San Diego. And I first knew this was going to be a problem with Adolfo when another friend of mine warned me. He said, "Thank God you and your fiance are here this time." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You don't know Adolfo." And I was like, "He seems fine. He seems great." So we drink all night, all day. We finish a handle of some Fireball. Everybody goes to sleep except for four of us, myself, Adolfo, and another couple. The male of that couple happened to be a former Marine. Adolfo is former Coast Guard, and apparently they have some rivalry, which is like, I guess, the Yankees to the Indians kind of rivalry. I would, you know...
To the AA affiliate of the Indians.
Just, you know, Marines, you hear great stories. Coast Guard, yeah, all right.
Great, you're popping our weed.
So he is belligerent at this point. He is screaming at this guy who happens to be a foot taller and a former Marine. And, you know, Adolfo's like 5 feet tall?
Yeah.
He's berating him about how the Coast Guard is so much better. Anyway, I'll skip all that. He showed so much restraint not beating Adolfo to death. He didn't. He just laughed. He laughed. So the Marine and his girlfriend went to their tent and fell asleep, and Adolfo continues to jump on their tent, on top of it, crushing it with them inside. So I decide to help after I've had I don't know how many drinks. I pull Adolfo off of the tent, and Adolfo runs off into the campground, which is a public campground with campers everywhere.
Apparently, like Blair Witch, too. Squailing, running off into the woods.
So I don't want him to ruin our camping trip on the first night. So he runs into the neighboring campsite. You know, there's a family there. We saw him earlier. They're sleeping. They're pop up. And so I chase him. I probably should have let him go. So I'm chasing him, just worried like the cops are going to show up and kick us all out. This is like, you know, 1-2 in the morning out in the middle of the woods.
Because this guy is acting maniacal.
He's not acting
drunk. He's acting insane.
He's looking for trouble.
Yeah.
So at this point, I'm cussing. I'm like, get the hell over here. You're gonna get us all in trouble. Chasing him. He's running. He starts running around the pop-up, the neighboring pop-up, running around in circles. I went one trip around, and I'm like, I'm done running after this guy. And I was the only one with the flashlight, so once he lost his light, I just hear him go, you know, straightforward, running full speed into a permanent, you know, picnic table. Just boom, just nails it, falls over.
Concrete.
So, concrete.
Yeah, yeah.
He hurt himself bad. It hurt. He was on the ground when I come up to him, and I'm like, come on, man, just, and I'm angry, but I'm not, I was trying to help him still, and he tells me he's afraid, and he rolls underneath the picnic table. So I give up, I walk back away, and then I'm like, okay, don't give up. I turn back around, like 30 seconds later, and I'm like, really nice, Adolfo, let me help you, Adolfo. So I pick him up, he's like, okay, this time he loves me now after he told me he was afraid of me. So now I got my arm around him, bringing him back to the campground, and then of course he starts to fight me. And at this point I am not, and he's a small guy compared to me.
Was there anything that prompted the fight, or did he just start to fight you?
Just pure alcohol, okay, I guess. Okay, just okay. Lots of fireball.
Yeah.
Which I was warned about with this guy.
Maybe they should have given that to Manny and Floyd.
To make it a better fight.
Yeah, a couple Four Locos before they get in the ring.
Although he didn't put up as good as a fight as either of those guys.
Oh, so. No, he's kind of a weenie when it comes out. Mind you, too, I remember, not to interject, Usher, but I remember when he shows up, too, he's telling everybody, don't let me drink hard alcohol.
Oh,
and I think that was the first time that I realized that is like the number one red flag of somebody that has an alcohol problem.
Oh yeah,
is
telling other people not to drink
because they're trying to pawn their ridiculousness off on somebody else as soon as the night goes into ladder drinking of just utter chaos.
Belligerence.
Yeah,
belligerence is the best term. So
yeah, yeah. So he fights you.
So I got my arm around him. I'm trying to just quietly, I was really nice. He seemed to like believe in me, even though 30 seconds before he was afraid. And then I just went away, come back. He's happy now. He's fighting me. And I have my arm around him, and I whipped him straight to the ground as hard as I could. I should have probably nailed him with a good Manny or Mayweather combo.
Yeah, you would have hit him
something.
With a car at that point.
Just
good money Mayweather counter right hook.
Should have just given him one good punch. He probably would have been out for the night, and we could have left him right there on the ground and got him in the morning. So I throw him to the ground, and at this point I'm utterly exhausted from chasing him around the campground, from wrestling with him, from just, it was idiotic.
Because he's got drunk energy.
So finally I come back to the campground where we have like 10 other campers who heard this whole thing and just ignored it, Brett. And finally, Christian, who I guess will be a future guest, possibly. I'm like, I'm begging for help. I'm like, will somebody please wake up and help me with this asshole? So Christian gets up and we drag him into his tent and throw him in. And the next day he tells me how I should have punched him. And I told him how much I really, really thought about it and how he was right. I should have. But I wish we had a GoPro of me chasing him, like with night vision. It would be the best. It would probably be a YouTube hit. Like, it was the most idiotic experience of my life, and I hate him.
And this guy.
And then what did he proceed to do the next day?
This guy.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He proceeded to act like even more of a drunk asshole the next day. Because I think the hangover. Because I think we've been in that situation before where we've all been on that wave of trying to ride that hangover, and we've been like, is it worth it? Do I keep getting drunk, or do I just feel the pain so that I can be normal in about a day and a half?
We all know what he did.
Yeah, he rode that boogie board down the back of that wave.
What did he do the next day? He urinated.
He ended up urinating in front of a campsite with a
in broad daylight.
Yeah, in broad daylight. From what he thought was, I think, behind the tree. Completely not behind a tree.
There were trees,
about 5 feet away from a tree, just peeing in the broad daylight.
Right on the road.
A campsite. Yeah.
Pretty much.
A whole campsite. I think actually two campsites.
Children.
Yeah. Children were there. Yeah. I think, yeah. Well,
remember,
remind me
to never go camping with you guys.
He's not never allowed.
He's never ever.
And now I know what Christian told me about, you know, the whatever happened to the camp trip before that I wasn't able to attend.
Yeah, yeah. He was a mess that time too. And I don't even, now that I'm thinking about it was like I didn't even piece two and two together until now, but I'm like, that
That guy's somebody that doesn't belong outside.
Or with the drink, ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Keep him off the Clamato. Just keep him off the Clamato or anything.
It ruined my buzz, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's
definitely harsh in Mellows that weekend.
I mean, yeah. It
harsh
was,
in so many Mellows.
It was a rough time. It was a rough time that weekend. So, I mean, that was something that we were gonna talk about, but Dan has some serious subject to talk about, and we kind of want to lead it in and close it out with this subject because, yeah, Dan, take it away, brother.
Just before we sign off here, I just wanted to say a couple words. I had a very good friend pass away yesterday. And so as we sign off, thank you again for listening. And I just want to express the fact that please let, you know, everybody you know that you love them and make sure that you express that as often as possible, because you don't know when you aren't going to have the chance to say stuff like that again to them. So again, thanks for listening. It's been a great show. Thanks, guys. For a good night and a good distraction. And cheers to my buddy Francis. And catch us again next week. We've been Pop Not Soda. You can follow us on Twitter at Pop Not Soda. You can follow myself on Twitter at Dan_Perez_. Brett is at Niece's Pieces. Brian is no longer at Vagina Busters. And David, do you have a Twitter account or any
no
social
Twitter.
Media?
I don't tweet.
So David ushers off the grid, which means the only place you'll find him is on this podcast. More than enough reason to listen. Again, we thank you for the hour and change you spent with us, and we will see you next week.